you can put up the first slide. I'm wondering why you're standing, Tyler, standing here with me. It's probably a prophetic thing about sonship that we're talking about tonight. But yeah, he's a small blessing that came into, church family's lives in the last couple of weeks. We really are privileged. He's one of our cell members, if you didn't know that. He attends every week. Okay, something that was quite special, and we're going to speak about imitation and all those things later in terms of sonship. But I just noticed when I was sitting there a couple of moments back, and I was singing Glorify Your Name, and how a kid will listen to what you are saying, and I just hear him, Glorify Your Name, Glorify Your Name. He doesn't even know what he's saying at this stage, but just the power of imitation, you know, of imitating people, fathers in our lives as well. All right. Romans 8 verse 1 says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. Amen. Sons, we need to understand what it is, or what we need to do, what we need to ask for, etc., to become sons and to live as sons and to... there's so many aspects of sonship. So that is what we're going to talk about tonight. But first, before I go on, I just quickly want to pray, and then Rulani is going to play a video for us, and then we're going to listen to the word in a different way tonight. Right, Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that I can just say, Lord, I'm a vessel in your hands. Use me to let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. To himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I will go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He rose and came unto his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering his father, said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found.
Okay, in this story, there's actually three sons, not two. We talk about the youngest son. First son was the youngest son. He's rebellious. He ran away from home and squandered everything on reckless living. He wanted his inheritance before he was supposed to get it. So the father gave him his inheritance, but he was rebellious. And he was actually running away from his father. And in a sense, if we take it to God, he was running away from God. Then we've got the eldest son, the lost son, the religious son. He actually worked in the father's house. He was there every day. He had ample opportunity to spend time with the father. But he was, as a good religious person or good religious person, working hard and just trying to satisfy his father. But he didn't spend time with him. He didn't say, father, okay, I'll leave the work now. It's best to sit with you. And he wanted a skinny goat to spend it with his friends and family or other family members. But he was really religious. And it's his way of trying to get to God. And we're like that many a time. We're religious in the sense that we try to get to God by doing good deeds, by being involved in a lot of things. But sometimes we're so busy that we don't get to God. We don't have time to spend with him, to sit at his feet. And then there was a third son, and that was the youngest son, when he ran back to his father's house. And he realized that at his father's house there is provision. At his father's house there is love, there is food. There is everything that he needs. And instead of being a servant there that he thought he will be, his father just opened up his arms and said, I will receive you back. And he even celebrated because this son was dead and he is alive again. And we must be like this righteous or resurrected sons, where we can go to God and say, Lord, I've missed it. And repent of what you've done wrong. And say, Lord, I want to get back to where I was with you, spending time with you, spending time in your presence. Someone like that works with the Father and wants to serve the Father because the Father did everything for him. Just a quick summary. We'll look at a couple of other things as well, just to set the background. But I want to ask you in the beginning, which son are you? The rebellious one, the religious one, or the righteous one? And it's not just something at a certain stage, but in different times of your life, you've probably been each one of them. Maybe you're now at a different place in your life, and maybe you're now a religious son, but 2 years ago you were still a rebellious son. Or maybe you fell back again. I don't know where you are in your life and your place with God. But we're going to talk about this a bit later. But we want to be righteous sons of God. Galatians 4 verse 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Lord Jesus died to deliver us from our slavery to sin. We all were in slavery. Many believers move from being slaves in the world to being slaves in the kingdom. And that's a problem because these believers adopt a slave mentality because that is all they know. But God wants us to be sons, not slaves. So you've changed maybe from a place where you were in the world, and now you turn to God, but you were slaving away in the world, and now you're back with God, but you're still a slave. You're still trying to impress God or trying to earn your acceptance with God. That means that you're still a son, a slave, and not a son. Galatians 4 verse 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul says that the heir, while he was still a child, I'm talking about somebody who's going to receive something from the father, but he's now still a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Not a lot. He might be in name, he might be a son, but he's not in charge of anything yet. He's under guardians and stewards who tell him what to do. Even though he's master of all in the making, this child first has to learn obedience until the time of adoption, which is appointed by the father. That the father says, now I give over the inheritance to you. Galatians 4 verse 3 to 5, Paul continues that we too are under a bondage of slavery before our adoption. So there's a place where you need to be adopted into the father's family. And at that place, before you get to that place, you're still in bondage to slavery. But Jesus has come to redeem us out of the law and into liberty. We must get out of a place of slavery into a place of freedom, of liberty, where we can be free in the Father's sight and in His presence. We must be adopted out of slavery, where we were immature children, and into a place of sonship where we are mature. So that is what we want to get to. Okay, I'm just going to show you point out a few differences between slaves and sons. And I want you, while we go through this list quickly, I want you to think of what areas, you might be a son in many areas, but in some areas, you might still be a slave. And that is areas that you need to bring to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to change here. I want to become a son in every area of my life. A slave can be a rebellious person or a religious person, like those two sons that we talked about. He works for rewards. So if I do something, somebody will say, well done, you did something good. And because of that, you feel, okay, I must keep on doing that because somebody's going to say, well done. A slave can also work because, or will also work because he has to. He's a slave, he must, the owner expects it of him. He performs, we achievers, many of that. And in a sense, I know in my life, in many stages, I wanted to perform to get affirmation. I did things because of affirmation. And that is something that the Lord was speaking to me quite a lot in my life, of saying, I don't have to achieve, I can just be. Always working, slaving, happy with little rewards, because in a sense you think, ah, that's all I deserve. I don't have to get more because, you know, I'm not worth more than that. Seeks his own will, and also he manages on behalf of the owner. Now, the son, on the other hand, he obeys and he submits, and we're going to look at some of these concepts. He receives an inheritance. He works and he serves the father because he wants to, not because he has to. I want to ask you, do you serve God because you have to? Because it will save you from eternal damnation? Or do you serve him because he is God? That's a question that you must ask yourself. This son seeks relationship like Martha and Mary. Which one was the one that was sitting with Jesus' feet, at Jesus' feet? Martha or Mary? Mary. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Martha was the one slaving away and wanting to do things. And the Lord just said, stop slaving away. The best is with me, sitting at my feet, spending time with the Father. A son also desires more, asks for his double portion. When I'm talking about sons, I'm talking about first being the firstborn. Each one of you, doesn't matter if you're the third or the fourth child in your family, when you come into God's family, you're the firstborn. Your brother is also the firstborn because God doesn't choose sides, if I can call it that. Everyone is his favorite. He desires more, he asks for his double portion. Now, the firstborn got double portion of the inheritance. He got double as much as any of the others. And sometimes we do not have to give to others because we do not ask of the Lord what is our inheritance, so that we've got more in terms of time, money, whatever, to be able to give out to other people. And this son also seeks the Father's will. Not your own will, not my plans, because our plans 100% of the time fails. But God's plans will never fail, because his plans and his ways are higher than our ways. And when you're a son, you rule with the Father. You become a co-heir in Christ. Through Christ, you become a co-heir. And you rule and you reign with the Lord. So that's the difference between slaves and sons. I want to start with being born into a family. Okay, so when you're born, and especially with people, I've realized, you know, if we look around us and you look at a birth of an elephant, within a couple of days, that elephant is, not even a couple of days, maybe a day, that elephant is going and is dependent on the family, but it grows up quickly. But with humans, it takes years and years. I think most people leave home after 25, or even 30, people are still with the family. So it takes a lot longer for us as humans to get out of the house. So being born in that state, you are totally dependent on the Father to supply your needs, etc. So firstly, when you get into the family, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we're born again, and now we are babies in Christ, is when we accept him and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come and take over every area of my life. Then you're born into the family. But do you think at that stage the Father can trust you with your full inheritance? If you do not know half of the things that's happening in his business or in his kingdom. Yeah, so it comes down to a place where you say, okay, Lord, I don't know everything, but I've started. I'm serving you now. That's the best step. That's the first step that you must take. And it's a great step to take. People's lives change when they meet Jesus. But then there's a second place where you must be adopted into the Father's family, into sonship. The Father restores his repentant son. It can be the religious son, or it can be the rebellious son. In terms of his identity, his destiny, and his authority. So it's three places. Now in the biblical times, people had robes on. A blind beggar had a specific robe on that people could say, okay, he's got that robe on, that means he's blind. And that blind beggar threw off his robe, and basically to show he's got faith, he's not going to be blind anymore. And Jesus puts on us a robe of righteousness. When we come in right standing with him and we accept Jesus, he puts a robe of righteousness on us. Then another thing in that story that the Father gave the Son, okay, there was a robe. And then he gave him sandals, and that's your destiny. God gives you a new destiny when you accept him and you walk the road with him. And he puts a ring on your finger, and that ring is a ring of authority. And that ring of authority is something that you can use, and you say, okay, I've got the same authority. The Father tells me you can go there, you can sign the deal, you can do the business. And you can go out and preach to other people or tell other people about Jesus, share your testimony, etc. He gives you the authority when you become a son. Now, everyone is born into sonship must come to a place of maturity where he can be adopted, initiated into sonship. All right, so you get born into a family, but then at that place when you have to be ready to receive your inheritance and you become a true son, you have to be adopted into God's family. Okay, so just a quick way to show you what is the steps that you actually go through. Firstly, we're talking on the left-hand side, children of God. You're born into a family by repentance and faith. Now you're a baby. Now what was so amazing, when I also went through these things, these scriptures, etc., I realized being filled with the Holy Spirit is part of our adoption process into the Father's family. Because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. So to be adopted, you need the Spirit of God. Now look on the right-hand side. Jesus, on the day that he got baptized, the Holy Spirit also came down on him. So actually what's going on in our lives, or what's happening to us spiritually, happened exactly in the same way to Jesus. We were baptized into water as part of our adoption into his family. To say we are part of God's family now. We died to our old living. We're not part of the world family anymore. We're standing up out of the water, leaving our old stuff behind, getting out, and now we are part of God's family. Jesus was also baptized, but that was just for righteousness' sake, to fulfill the scriptures. Then there was a place of bar mitzvah, the affirmation place. The Jews put the son, who became 13 years old, on their shoulders. They walked around and they said, look at him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. At Jesus' baptism, the Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That was Jesus' bar mitzvah. He didn't get one at the age of 13, who knows why he didn't get one when he was 13 years old. He was born out of wedlock, so he couldn't be affirmed in that way. So his affirmation, his sonship, place of sonship, only came when the Father did it in a public place so that many people could see it. Then Jesus went, or Jesus went into the wilderness. He went there to overcome temptation. We basically go into the wilderness where you become a son now, and now Satan comes and say, hey, but you were in the world. It was quite nice here in the world. Don't you want to go back there? And then it's a place where you can start choosing. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to listen to the devil's voice, or are you going to listen to God's voice in your life? And it's also a place where you get purified. Sometimes it's hard times that you go through in your lives, but it's a place where you get to where you can trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I'm going to still trust you even though things doesn't go my way. What did on the right-hand side, what did Jesus do when Satan came against him? When Satan said, okay, but I'll do this and that for you, he recited the word. He used the word as a weapon. How much more should we use and recite the word as a weapon against Satan? And then finally, Jesus was connected to the Father. Every single day, he went alone and to the mountain and he prayed to the Father. And because he was connected, he could do miracles. He could drive out demons. He could heal the sick. He could multiply bread. And he bore much fruit. And we must also be tapped into the vine, which is Jesus, to get to the Father, to multiply and bear much fruit. So this is actually your adoption ceremony. And I think that's the things that we speak about in Bible school and in Encounter 1. Because that's the basics, but it's actually to be adopted into God's family. In India, when somebody, there's many different gods, so there's millions of them. So if somebody wants to serve 10 or 20, it's fine. Even if he's a Christian, it's fine. But when he gets to a place where he says, I'm going to get baptized, people just say, I don't want to have you part of my family anymore. And it's because you relate and you become a son when you get baptized as well. Okay, so what happened to Jesus when they said those three things? Or what happened at that stage when the bar mitzvah took place? Well, it's called the three A's of affirmation. This is my beloved, which means affection. Beloved means if somebody is your beloved, it's very special to you and there's affection shown. This is my beloved son. Just that extra word means if it's a son, you're accepted. And this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It means approval. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That is why we need the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we never really get adopted and we are a bystander standing on the side, not really tapping into the Father, not really understanding His voice and His direction and His destiny for us. But we must cry out, Abba, Father, through that same Holy Spirit that enters us that we could ask for. I want to make the statement, we all need God's affirmation to flourish as sons. If we don't get that affirmation, we'll never get to a place where we say, it doesn't matter what people say, it matters what God says. So if we get the affirmation from God, you will stand in difficult circumstances, you will still stand. Because man's opinion is not important, but what God's opinion is about you is what is really important. There's many of you that get in their workplaces, people speak harshly against you, telling you you're worthless, telling you that you're not fit for the job, you can't do this, etc. But it's not what people say about you what matters. It's what God says about you that really matters. Okay, I want to speak about a couple of fruits or characteristics of sons. Do you understand? When you become a son now, you've gone through this adoption process, you're now a son. What are the kinds of fruits that will be part of your life? And I'm just going to speak about in a bit more detail about these three: turning our hearts, obedience and submission, and then imitation and serving. Okay. According to Malachi 4 verse 5 to 6, the hearts of the sons are turned towards the fathers. Why is it turned? Why is the son's heart turned to the father? To be able to receive, that impartation from the father. Now I'm specifically going to talk tonight just about the son's part. Because the father's love is unconditional. He loves us, doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter where we're from, doesn't matter what you've done in the past, God still loves you. If you're religious, He still loves you. If you're rebellious, He still loves you. It's bad for you to be in that places, but God still loves you even though you're in that place. But tonight we're talking about the son's part. So the son must say, Father, I want to receive impartation from you. Speak to me. Then a blessing will result, according to Malachi 4, verse 5 to 6. We need to be open to impartation. Impartation happens from heart to heart, and the heart of the generations must therefore be turned to one another. Okay, so, and that means the fathers to the sons, fathers to the mothers, children to the fathers, etc. There must be a turning of hearts. Then the second thing that goes under this topic is honoring. Because honoring opens hearts. When we honor one another, we don't only turn our hearts to each other, we also open our hearts to one another. Okay, so it's openness. Now, what does it mean to honor someone? We can say somebody who's bold enough to tell me, if I honor somebody, what does it mean? You respect them. You speak well of them. You speak up to them. You even honor them in the sense that you say, hey, I'll do something for you. I'll even be like a servant to that person if you honor someone. And you've got a lot of respect. So in the Bible often commands children to honor their parents and show them due respect. Okay, so it's that respect. And we need to honor. We don't have a culture of honoring other people. It's always about me, myself, and I, about my needs, about what's important for me. We must get to a place where we start honoring people for anything, for small things. Because if we can't do it with small things, how are we going to do it with big things? We need to honor our leaders, we need to honor our pastors, we need to honor our family members. Even though you don't agree with things that they say, we still need to honor them. And then the second thing, second fruit, or two fruits, is actually obedience and submission. Sons should obey their fathers and submit to them. Now, there's a difference between submission and obedience. Submission, you submit to someone, it's an attitude. So your attitude, my attitude towards Wayne, for example, is good. It's the way I see the relationship. Okay, so my attitude towards him is good. That's submission. Now, say he tells me to do something, and I do it. Then I show the obedience by the action that I do, by actually doing what he asked. You submit in your heart, so it's a heart condition, but you obey with your hands. And then a third thing that a son would do is imitate and also serve. Sons must imitate their fathers, just like I spoke earlier about the small incident of imitation. If we serve the Lord in a specific way in our homes, our children will see it, and they will do the same. If your children see how you treat other people in a bad way, they will think, that is it. I mean, you're the parent, you're the one that's supposed to know how things are to be done. So I'm going to do the same thing. So sometimes we don't understand why someone is acting in a certain way, but it's many a time the way that we set the example. And many times we fail in that. We fail in that many times by setting a wrong example. But that's a place where we need to repent before the Lord. We must be open to repent and say, Lord, I missed it here. And to repent to that person, say, sorry, I know I haven't handled you or spoke to you in a affirming and honoring way. Okay, before adoption, the guardian is a teacher or instruction. I'm talking about in a house where there's a father and a son who wants to become a true son. Before adoption, the guardian is a teacher, instructor, but after the adoption process, he becomes a helper, advisor. And in spiritual sonship, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, is appointed as a father by the Father as our guardian. Okay, so we've got a helper, advisor. When we come into sonship now, we have the Holy Spirit who will guide us and lead us every day. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're disobedient. And I know a couple of times in my life where I've been disobedient. Following my own mind. And I knew the Holy Spirit told me, no, don't do it. And then afterwards, you take the pain for your decisions that you made. As sons, we need to imitate our earthly fathers as well as our heavenly Father. Corinthians 11 verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Servants, follow the Father's instructions, but sons should follow the Father's example. We've got the Word. We know what the Father's example is. We know what Jesus' example is. We need to follow that example. We need to live it out every day as an example to people around us. I talked about a couple of them. The ones that's highlighted is the ones I've already talked about. But other fruits of sons is loving other people. God says that we will know that people are disciples of God, true disciples, if they love one another, if they're repenting. If people tell you never to repent, you know it's not kosher. I've had this one client who works with kosher food, and he explained to me how kosher food works, how they have to go through many processes to make it clean and make sure that it's good and ready. It's not good if you don't repent. Humility. If somebody's walking in pride, you know it's not a fruit of a son. A son will walk in humility. A son will also ask for his inheritance. Because Abram received an inheritance. Why did he receive an inheritance? For himself? Was the inheritance of Abram for himself? He was blessed to be a blessing to the nations. So if we receive anything, whatever it is, we receive it as stewards to be a blessing to other people. Another fruit of a son is to forgive, to celebrate. I see many times we are jealous if it's going well with someone else. And we struggle to celebrate with that person. But if we can celebrate, your day will also come when things happen in your life. And it would be great when you're not the only one having this accolade or something happening in your life. But at that stage, when people come to you and celebrate with you and happy with you. We receiving impartation, we've talked about. Think of others' needs instead of your own needs. If you start thinking of others' needs as a son, you will totally forget about your own, and God will provide in that as well. We need to die to self. Because for us to be able to multiply as sons, multiply our gifts, we need to die to self every day. We need to die to self and say, Lord, in this area I'm still struggling, but I'm dying today. I'm putting my pride in my pocket and I'm apologizing to someone that I should apologize to. And holiness. And holiness doesn't mean just right living or whatever. Holiness means you are separated towards God, and you spend time with Him. All right, so it's a couple of things. And to end off, What is the father's heart for his sons? What is the father's heart for his sons? The only law we must observe is the law of love, which we obey when we serve one another. So that's the father's heart, that we act in this way towards each other. Galatians 5, verse 13 to 14, Paul makes it clear that sons must walk in liberty and serve willingly. We must serve others and God because we want to, not because we have to, not because we're under a law. Out of love, we must do it, and not out of obligation or out of a slave mentality. And if you do not have that love for other people, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can put it in your heart. You must ask the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 verse 5, to put the love of God inside your heart for other people. Going back to the story, even though the rebellious son ran to a far country, squandered his inheritance, and even though the religious son refused to enter the father's house and was offended with the father because he didn't get what he thought he will get, and he was offended by the way the father acted towards his other son and gave a celebration, etc. Even though the father's heart, even though those things happen, the father's heart towards both his sons is one of unconditional love. Even though you might be rebellious, even though you might be religious, God's love for you doesn't change because of that. But it's better for you. It's better for you to change. That's the only reason why God says, okay, don't be rebellious or don't be religious, because it's better for you. It doesn't affect him in any way, because nothing affects him. He's God. He's perfect. He doesn't need anything. But for us, we need to change because it's better for us. The father was glad that the rebellious son that was dead had repented and come alive again as the righteous son. He was hinting at the younger son's death and resurrection because he wanted the older son to do the same and to also to repent. I want to ask you tonight, there's a couple of things that the Lord laid on my heart that we must pray about tonight. And I want you to be bold tonight. Because at some stage, in a certain area in your life, you are religious or you're rebellious. Maybe you've served the Lord for a long time, and before you served Him, you were very rebellious. And now you turn to Him. And now you're serving Him. But still in many places, now you're trying to impress Him. You're trying to do things to make Him happy or do things to get His affirmation. Tonight, God wants to tell you that He affirms you and loves you just the way you are. But you must come to a place where you say, Lord, I'm open to change. We cannot grow if we do not change. I'm seeing this picture of an orchard. And if they don't cut the vines, if they don't pull, if it's a fruit tree like an apple tree, if they don't pull down the branches, or full with pears, they don't pull down the branches, there won't be as many apples or pears on that fruit tree as there would be if it is not pulled down or pruned. And sometimes the Lord wants to do things in your life and it's not nice. It's sore. It's painful. But when we come to a place where we say, Lord, I'm open. I'm open for your correction. I'm open for your change. I'm open for you to mold me. The Lord is saying that some people must be like, see the Lord as a potter, because He says it in His word. And you are the clay. But at the moment you are clay that doesn't want to change. You say, no, I like this pot now. I don't want this pot changed. This pot is perfect. And then the Lord said, no, I have to change this pot because this pot is not made for the, I can't use this pot in the way I wanted to use it if it's not changed. And the Lord is saying tonight that people must be open that the Lord can mold them. Even in some